Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
All right. If you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along, read along, we are going to be in the book of Jonah, okay? Jonah. So no Bible drills for you to find it. It is towards the end of the Old Testament, right between Obadiah and Micah. And so I want to send you there, or if you are a device person, you're just going to click on the Bible app, or that River Church has the Bible, and that's cool too. But if you have a Bible, I always want to have you turn there. For the next 5 weeks, we are going to be looking at this small, minor prophet, looking at what God communicates to Jonah and how Jonah interacts with God and God's calling. And so I'll say this, I'm super excited to be able to preach this book over the next few weeks, excited for what God is going to be doing. God has already spoken and challenged me in so many ways as I've studied this passage really over the last couple weeks. But Jonah, as I said, is found in the minor prophets, minor being not lesser important, just in a smaller message or delivery, but just a quick look at what Jonah is. I'll give you a little overview, and then we're going to, for the next few minutes, look at the first six verses of Jonah. But Jonah is recorded history. It's important that we delineate that and communicate that this morning. There's a movement to make Jonah folklore or a fairy tale story. But the reality is Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 12 as Jonah as true history. He didn't speak it as mythological, but he references himself as one being greater than Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, he says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." But just a quick little overview of the book of Jonah. God calls his prophet, one that would communicate his message. Prophets is one that is a spokesperson or an ambassador or an authorized messenger of God. You can look at some of the other minor prophets or even some of the major prophets. They were communicating a message to God's people. They were communicating some prophetic word or a challenge, but all the time it was a call back to God. Hey, this is the message of God. Repent. This is the message of the Lord. You need to hear this and understand this. And so Jonah being one of them, he was called to preach, call out these Ninevites for their actions, for their evil sins. And if you knew a little bit about this story in Jonah does the opposite. He runs in the opposite direction. God sends a storm. He's thrown out of a boat, eaten by a fish or swallowed by a fish. He's in the fish for 3 days and then spit out on land and then goes and preaches and then complains. That's a quick little 30-second summary of Jonah. There's way more to that. I'm excited to walk through that over the next month. But Jonah preaching and called by God, this is not something new. You can look at this book of Jonah and go, okay, sounds good. This is a one-time affair. This is a one-time moment. He was called by God. He rebelled. That's not the story of Jonah. Jonah is referenced in 2 Kings as one that has already communicated with God. So Jonah had a practice of being able to communicate the messages from the Lord. God would come to Jonah. He would hear a message and he would go preach it. Jonah would commonly go preach to the Israelites. In 2 Kings, he's referenced as doing that. But the central theme of the book of Jonah, and this is important that we understand this, is a compassionate, or is the compassionate mercy of God on Jonah and the people of Nineveh. From the opening and closing words, the book teaches us God's mercy is indiscriminate. It will often be given to those whom the world and even the church would think to be the least likely to receive it. So let's look at the first six verses of Jonah chapter 1 this morning. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.'" God, we come to you this morning. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenges, the conviction in it. God, as I preach it this morning, may you communicate it very clearly, concisely. God, may your Holy Spirit work in our hearts. God, thank you for being here. Thank you that your word is living and active. God, thank you we're able to take communion together as a church. We do this in remembrance of you, to celebrate, to proclaim your death, your resurrection, and one day your return. God, we praise you, we love you, we glorify you. It's in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So I give a quick introduction of Jonah, and I know there's a lot to that. And so I want to look at these six verses this morning and really examine what is happening and how it applies in our lives. In verse 1, we see a very clear, concise calling of God on Jonah's life. Verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." Very clear. God was calling Jonah to do what? Go to Nineveh. The word of the Lord came. He said, go. Go preach. Go proclaim. This calling was fairly normal. If you look at some of the other prophets in the Old Testament, this is a very good description or similar description to the calling of Elijah or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, other prophets. It was a commissioning where God was speaking directly to this prophet. Go participate in my mission and in my word. Represent me. Go do this. Rise up and go do this. He says, arise and go. And where was he going? To Nineveh. God describes Nineveh as a great city. This is an adjective not to describe the scene of maybe you would think as someone described as great. He was describing great as the size or the influence. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria and was about 550 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And so a very similar neighbor, a close neighbor, and you'll read, if you know anything about the Old Testament, the Assyrians would actually eventually come and destroy and take captive many of the Israelites. They were known for their brutality towards the Israelites and the Jews. They were their number one enemy. And so this is important that we understand this narrative that's happening. It wasn't simply, all right, God called Jonah, you go preach to these people. And Jonah's like, no. No, no, God is calling Jonah to go preach to his worst enemy. Someone that hates him, and the reality is, we're reading in the white spaces here, but he probably hates them, has a disdain for them. But the Ninevites were known for their brutality. They were known for their violence. History records the Assyrians or the Ninevites as ones that would kill their enemies, or they'd take them captive, and they would stick their heads and their bodies on these large poles outside of their cities. Not just men, they're talking about women and children as well. History records the Ninevites as having an ability to literally fillet the bodies of their enemies while they're alive. And so this is the people that God has called Jonah to go preach to. Jonah would be going to preach to the most powerful nation in the known world. A nation that had been a threat to the Israelites and probably personally to Jonah. We don't have a record of understanding. Maybe someone was killed or taken captive, one of Jonah's relatives. But I think we can imagine he knew someone that was taken captive or killed or abused. These were his greatest enemy. God is saying, hey, go preach the gospel. Go preach conviction. Go preach sin to them. And in verse 3, we see Jonah's response. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God said, rise and go. And Jonah rose and fled. Jonah fled to Tarshish. This was his response. In rebellion from the word or the message of God. Tarshish was known as the westernmost part of the Mediterranean Sea. History records it as the almost the ends of the earth. And so this is what's being described here. This is important that we understand what's happening here. God is calling Jonah to go preach to someone that he most likely hates, his enemy. Jonah's like, deuces, I'm out. I'm running to the end of the world. I'm running away from you, God. I'm going to go hide, as described in verses 3 and 4, from the very presence of God. I don't want to do that. See, Jonah wasn't running from the Ninevites or the Assyrians. He was running from God. He was running from God. And so we must look at why was he running? Why was he running from God? God gave him a very clear, concise message. Go do this. Well, as we described the Ninevites, they were his enemy. Jonah wasn't interested in participating in the redemptive story of his enemy. Think about that. He had no interest in seeing his enemy saved. He had no interest in... Really what he wanted the judgment of God on his enemy. I can prove it to you. If you have a Bible, if you're flipping to it, flip to Jonah chapter 4. And I know, like, you're going to be talking about this in a couple weeks. I know, but it's important for our discussion today. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. We begin to see Jonah's intentions or why he fled. He describes, he says, "O Lord, is not this why I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish." This is why I ran, guys. This is what you need to hear. This is why I ran. And he gives an explanation. "For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and abounding and steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Can I explain it to you very clearly this morning? He's saying, I knew, God, you would show him grace and mercy, and I didn't want him to receive it. I knew your power. I knew your authority. I knew your word. I knew your spirit of conviction, and I didn't want them to have it. Now, what a powerful statement. I love the honesty here. But Jonah is really speaking, I think, directly towards a truth that you and I can probably grasp in our own understanding. He wanted the conviction, the hand, the judgment of God on his enemy, and God showed them grace instead. I read this week. I thought it was super profound. God delights in saving in this world whom we'd least expect. Because in doing so, he testifies both to his sovereignty and salvation and the greatness of his mercy. And that's why I gave you a quick synopsis of the book of Jonah. The main theme message of the book of Jonah is the mercy of God is indiscriminate. God shows grace who he wants to show grace to. I'll say this to you. I don't deserve the grace of God, and neither do you. Not one of us does. That's the beauty of the grace and the mercy of God. I could preach on it till I couldn't speak anymore. I love the very much grace and the mercy of God, because once you really begin to understand that you don't deserve it, no one else deserves it, yet God gives it freely, you begin to go, wow, God, I don't understand why you love me so much. And that's where you begin to say, God, I want to praise you with my actions, my responses, my words, everything that I say and do. God, you've shown me grace and mercy I can't even comprehend. And that's what's happening here. Jonah has experienced the grace of God, and he will experience it in the next chapter. I won't step on that message yet, because it's good. Where it describes him getting a second chance. Man, I'm thankful for a God that gives us second chances. And third and fourth and fifth. But the reality is that's what grace is. God doing something for me that I couldn't do for myself. The same for you. See, Jonah understood something. He understood the power of God. He understood the power of the grace of God. And he understood the power of the mercy of God. And he wanted his enemies really to die in rotten hell. I've used this as an example before, and I'm ashamed to use it, but I'll use it again. In 2001, man, it's crazy to think it was 25 years ago, two airplanes crashed into the World Trade Centers in New York. I was a senior in high school. I can point to the spot I was at, room 404 in Waterford Kettering High School, Spanish 2. All right, Mrs. Davis was my teacher. And I have a terrible memory. All right, and so I remember these details. Why? Because it was a catastrophic moment. And so as a senior in high school, I had many friends enlist. They went to the Marines, they went to the Army, they went to the Navy, they went to different service to go fight in Iraq and Afghanistan. But in that day, a hatred began to build in my life, and maybe some of you as well. I began to be honestly racist. Racism began to build. I'm like, man, I'd get on an airplane and you'd see someone of Middle Eastern descent. You begin to go, hey, what bags are they carrying? You begin to build. It was a hatred. It was an anger. And it didn't take till years later where God convicted me of that. That it began to go, wow. But in that moment, I began to think, wow, in 2001, if God called you to go preach in Iraq or Afghanistan, I may have done the same thing that Jonah did. No way, God. They deserve death. They deserve. I don't want them to see the very mercy of God. Some of you guys, maybe Vietnam veterans or have family of Vietnam veterans, you experienced some of that. You think of that in after the beginning of World War II in 1941 when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, the hatred toward Japanese people. I'm just trying to give you an example of enemies, but now make it really personal. Someone has hurt you like no one has ever hurt you in your life, abused you physically, emotionally, and now you're going, God, you want me to pray the very mercy of God on them? I can't do that. Let's be honest this morning. That's hard. It's easy to up and preach and go, yep. No, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, pray for my enemies. Do good to them that hurt you. That's the words of Christ. And I'll tie it directly to Jonah chapter 1. That's what Jonah is experiencing. I don't like these people. They've done horrible things, God. Do you know what they've done? Come on, let's get honest. I've had those conversations with God. God, I don't know if they can ever receive the mercy of God. Do you know the things that those people do? See, we're good at that as the church. Telling God what he should do. Telling God who he should save and who he should not save. Telling God who he should show grace to and who he should show mercy to. And telling God who should be separated from him for eternity. But the reality is, the grace of God is indiscriminate, and I'm thankful. I don't deserve it, yet I received it in an incredible, transforming way. And that's the beauty of the grace of God. So Jonah ran. He fled in rebellion from a direct message of God. What I love about this is God responds. Sometimes I love that. Let's get honest, all right? God responds. In verse 4, he says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. See, Jonah ran in the opposite direction towards the ends of the earth. Literally, he's heading towards the end. I'm going to get away from God. I'm going as far away from God. God won't see me, know me, hear me. No one will know me. I will disappear. So he gets on this boat. And God's still chasing him. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. The waves were crashing, going to destroy this boat. The mariners were afraid. And a prayer meeting broke out. Yeah, it was a prayer meeting to some other gods. It wasn't to the ultimate true God, the one true God, but they were praying for something. But the guy who had the message of hope was asleep in the bottom of the boat. As you read this passage, you can look at verses 3, verses 4, really verses 4, 5, and 6. It's a progression. It's very much a progression. In verse 3, it says, Jonah went down. That's important. If you're a highlighter of a Bible or an underliner, it's really important. But Jonah went down. Verse 3 again says, Jonah went down to Joppa. Jonah went down in the ship. Verse 5, Jonah had gone down in the ship. Verse 2 is the culmination of Jonah's descent, where he'd go down to the depths of the bottom of the sea in the belly of a fish. So what is this drawing a conclusion to? It's important. We are witnessing the descent of Jonah away from the presence of God. And we're seeing spiritual movement. This is important, from life to death. We're seeing him run from the very presence of God, down, down, down. And so they wake up Jonah. These non-believers, Gentiles. What's interesting, I find very, very interesting. Verse 4, the captain says, arise and call out to your God. The same word God uses to Jonah in verse 1, arise and go to Nineveh. Same word. You got to be thinking in Jonah's place, I've heard this before. I've heard this before. What's really interesting about this is Jonah's actions endangered the lives of the sailors. They did. They endangered the lives of the sailors. His rebellion, his running from the very presence of God, endangered the lives of these men. It's important that we understand that in our rebellion, in our running from God, our actions affect the ones around us. as moms and dads. We just finished Family Month. You can look at the Old Testament where it describes the sins that are passed down from the third and fourth generation. What is that? It's called generational sin in a home or in a family. Sin is passed down. And the reality is your actions today affect generations long after you. Romans, Hebrews even reference this, that no man lives or dies to himself. Our actions, our responses, are the things that we do affect others. I'll say this to you, in your life today, in your rebellion or in our rebellion, our responses have effects for the ones around us. You're a husband, you're a dad, you've been called to be the leader of your home. Guess what? You not stepping up and do that affects your kids, affects your grandkids, affects your wife, affects others around you. You need to know that very, very clearly. And for us as followers of Christ, our actions put ones around us in danger. In our rebellion. And so I ask you this morning, as we look at these six verses, and I'm super excited to preach the rest of this book. There's so many things I want to jump into this morning, but we're going to stay in just the first six verses. I put this in big font in my notes. Are you running from the call of God? I don't know why I put it there, but I felt like asking that this morning, very, very clearly and concise. Because what is happening here in these six verses, Jonah is getting and receiving the very call of God. Jonah is receiving that and runs. And runs. Verse 3 says, it says it multiple times, ran away from the presence of God. This phrase is commonly used in Hebrew to indicate rebellion. Maybe you're running from the presence of God. God has been knocking at the door of your heart for months, weeks, years, and you've rebelled. You said, God, I don't want to give you my life. I don't want to give you my home. I don't want to give you my marriage. I don't want to give you my job. I don't want to give you my finances. I don't want to give you my future. I want what I want and no one else can have it. I'm going to live in rebellion to you. Maybe today is a call of conviction. You've been running from God too long. Today may be the day you need to say, God, I throw my hands up in surrender. My hands are up in surrender, and I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my future. The beauty of this is God has been chasing you down. As Jonah ran as hard as he could away from God, as chapter 2 describes, was running directly towards Sheol, which is hell. Is running as far away. God is chasing him. And I'll say this to you. Maybe today you're sitting here today and God is chasing you down. Maybe today you've got to say, God, I confess my sins. I'm broken. I repent of them. That word repentance is, I acknowledge them and I'm going to turn and go back the opposite way. That's what Jonah did. In the belly of the fish, he had to repent. I repent of my sins. I give you my life. Be my Savior. That may be you today. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the grace and the mercy of God that will transform you from the inside out. You're sitting here today, maybe you say, man, I'm a child of God, but I've been running from the call of God. I know what that's like. That's why I love the book of Jonah. As you see the grace and the mercy of God in a real, authentic way, chasing him down. Where God had clearly called him. God had clearly gifted him. God had clearly blessed him. God had gone before him in a mighty way. And yet Jonah in his rebellion said, "Nope, I'm good. No thanks, God." See, I don't want to get up here and say, "Oh, you know what? The call of God is so easy to determine in all aspects of our life." No, sometimes it's hard. It is. Take a job, buy a home, do this, do that. Those are hard things. But I'm not talking about that specific moments of the call. I'm talking about simply living for him. God has called you as a follower of God, as a child of God, to live for him. As the Great Commission, go into all the world. Arise, church. Go, preach, proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to your friends, your neighbors, your family, your coworkers. Disciple them. See their lives transformed. Be used. Be an ambassador. But the reality is, there's too many of us that have been running from it. Maybe you're sitting here today, specifically, you said, "Man, I was called by God to be in full-time ministry and I've been running from it for years." Man, I'll say this to you, don't run no more. Stop the running. See, Jonah was trying to do something I think we try to do as well. God, I can run. If I can run far enough, I can hide. I can hide from your presence. You think of Adam in Genesis chapter 3, right? He's in the garden. He sins. And he goes and hides. We look at that and just laugh. But the reality is we do the same stupidity all the time. Like, God, I can hide this from you, won't know, God. David writes about this in Psalm 139. "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." See, I think there's at times God allows his children to run a great distance. Gives them some time, maybe not for long. Seeing his mercy, he's pleased to draw them back. But the sad reality, just like the story of Jonah, that journey back can be incredibly painful. It can be a journey marked with sadness, regret. See, maybe this morning you feel like you're in the middle of a storm. It's wreaking havoc over your plans, my plans. And in this moment, I'll say, come to the very repentance of God and say, "God, I'm relenting to your plan, your purpose." See, I don't know, or maybe you've been running. I don't know what your race looks like. You've been running for days, weeks, months, years. The sad reality to this is I know you're not alone, because there's two of us in here. Been there. It's painful. Decisions made. Hurt. Pain. Can I say this to you today? Just as Jonah found himself repenting, I hope today you find yourself repenting. God, I want to follow you. I am no longer in rebellion. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I can say this. The shepherd left the 99 to find you. He was the father that saw the prodigal. and ran to him. I'll say this to you, he'll do that to you today. That's the beauty of the grace and the mercy of God. This morning, I feel led to do this, and maybe no one participated in it, and that's okay. But I want to ask you the question, how long you been running? And maybe today is it's over. The race, the run, I'm not running no more. I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you stand to your feet? Band's going to come out. Maybe you didn't grow up in church, and this is an odd moment. I don't do this often, but I love to turn the front into an old school altar. For men and women and families, for dads and moms, husbands and wives, individuals say, God, I'm done running. I'm going to put my hands up and surrender. I'm going to come to you and say, God, I give my life to you. Maybe today is the day you need to receive Christ as your Savior. You can do that in your seat. You could come. I'll be hanging around up front. You say, Caleb, could you help me with that? But I'll say today, just as Jonah realized that he had to stop running, today may be your day to stop running. I'm going to pray. The band's going to play a song. You want to come pray. You want to pray with somebody. I'll say this to you. If you see somebody praying alone, church, be the church. Go put a hand on their back. Pray behind them. There's no religious professionalism here. I just want to be authentic. An authenticity of, guess what? Every single one of us has been in a race and running away from the call of God. And today, may it need to end. God, I come to you. God, I ask for your movement right now in this place. Not just in this place, but ones joining us online. God, may your spirit convict. May we come to the heart of repentance. We've been running too long. God, if there's someone that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they realize they're lost, they're broken. And they confess their sins and turn and run towards you because you're running at them. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I don't deserve it. None of us do. God, I'm thankful that you're patient with me. That you're patient with us. God, we praise you. We love you. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the story of Jonah. There we'll see. We learn from his mistakes. God, we praise you. We love you in Jesus' wonderful name.